Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Pardon me, a vision for you big book study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Monday, November 12, 2018, and today we are reading from the big book, and we are in the a vision for you on page 156, reading the first and second paragraph, starting with one morning he took the bull and ending with have been repaired in four. Today's readers are Laura A. for the 12 steps, Reggie O. for the 12 traditions, Terry C., Kathy G., Kathleen O., and Melanie C. is our newcomer greeter today. The reference number for the special edition for yesterday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Sundays, is 121166. That's 12,166. And the reference meeting for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Monday, November 12, 2018, is 12167. That's 12,167. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura A. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Laura A., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
And thank you for your service, Laura A. And I'll now ask Reggie O. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thanks, Elaine, so much for your service. This is Reggie O. in Greater Los Angeles area, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Grateful to be able to read this morning. Thanks.
Thank you, Reggie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Pardon me. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 156, reading the first and second paragraph. And I will ask Terry C. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning. This is Terry C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. One morning, he took the bull by the horns and set out to tell those he feared what his trouble had been. He found himself surprisingly well-received and learned that many knew of his drinking. Stepping into his car, he made the rounds of people he had hurt. He trembled as he went about, for this might mean ruin, particularly to a person in his line of business. At midnight, he came home exhausted, but very happy. He has not had a drink since. And we shall see, he now means a great deal to his community, and the major liabilities of 30 years of hard drinking have been repaired in full. Well, those two paragraphs just really bring me back to my experience with the action steps. And just the promise that I know, and I this is something I subscribe to make any kind of an amends, to definitely get to that humble and honest spot to say I'm wrong, requires that I'm on good spiritual ground and in close connection with God. And even though there isn't a mention here of faith in God, I think these two paragraphs are such testimony to how God works in our lives. And, I went back this morning and I'm looking on page 65, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty in order to see my wrongs. And then on 76, it says, we made a list of persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. And then we take the action and we do it. Just like this first example or one of our first examples, when he got in the car and took the bull by the horns, God showed up. God showed up as he often does. He shows up when I'm willing to humble myself because I really relate to his pride. The fact that he was so proud and it was often quite the block for him because he talks about it in his story. It was a hard thing for him. But I don't think it was because he was a doctor, even though that's maybe his thinking. I remember that pride. I can still feel that pride when I have to go to someone and admit my wrong and look them in the eye. And one of the things that happens is when I look on them as a child of God, God shows up. I think it was said yesterday in the special edition that if God is love, then God's will is the next loving thought or action. Something like that. And I think that's ironically what relates to that to me, to these two paragraphs. And
I guess the last thing I want to say is
I love in Dr. Bob's story where he says at the end, your Heavenly Father will never let you down. And here, here we're seeing that he truly, his faith truly brought him the happiness. It says he's happy, the happiness, which are the promises of these steps. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Terry C. Who would like to comment on those two paragraphs today?
Gina R.
Gina R. Marianne C., I believe.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. One more. Was it Marianne C. that I heard? Did I get your name correct?
It's Mariana D.
Mariana D. Thank you. I knew I didn't get it quite right. Okay. So I've got Gina R., Mariana D., Roz G., Liz, Lisa J. R., and Kathleen O. Anybody else want to jump on board?
Terry A.H.
Allison. John K., Terry A.H., and Allison, last initial?
A.
Okay. All right, great. Okay. So, Gina R., you're up next. And I think John K. was actually right sandwiched in there after you. So, Gina R. and then John K., please.
Hi, Elaine. Thanks again for your service. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I'm a compulsive eater living in Green Valley, Arizona. Obviously, they're referencing the concept of the ninth step here. And I've never been a person to be afraid of taking the bull by the horns. I am actually someone who likes confrontation, and I don't have a problem stirring things up or whatever. The problem is I did not know how to properly use that gift. And I do believe that that is how my Creator made me. I just don't have a problem with confrontation. What the steps, this most recent go-round, 3 years ago now, helped me with was understanding where I was getting off the rails with that. And I'm going to bring up a couple of instances. When I made my amends with my daughter, and I got to the part, if she had anything to add, she had a lot to add. And she reminded me that there had been several times over the years where I had made similar types of conveyed sentiments to her, you know, that I wanted to change. And she said, you know, what gives me hope to believe that this time will be different? And that really, really was like a dagger in my heart. And the difference now is I truly have embraced what God has shown me with the relationship ideal. And when I am getting off the rails, that is where I go back to understand how God wants me to show up, not only in that relationship, but any relationship. And specifically, what does being loving and tolerant look like? Those are words that we throw around, but specifically in all of these instances, what does that actually look like? And then the other instance was an amends that I couldn't make because it involved a legal matter where I was not able to talk to a person, and understanding that how that works. So you can make amends and you can have recovery and be recovered by actually talking to people. And then in some instances you can't. And so I had to do the same thing with that situation. I had to understand, all right, what is my relationship ideal with people like this person that I cannot connect with because the law tells me I can't. And it's the same. I just line up with that and I do the best I can. I don't say I do it perfectly, but I'm awake, aware, and alert to it these days. And that makes a huge difference. I'm so grateful for this program and the ability to share on this line. Be blessed, everybody. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Gina R. John K., you're up next, followed by Mariana D.
Good morning. This is John Karen, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank you, Team Monday. You know, I had always heard that Dr. Bob had been trying to get it with the Oxford group, but really balked on the amends, and that's what kept making him go out over and over. And, you know, he got to see this is life and death. Well, yeah, gee, it may be embarrassing. Hey, it may even cause financial ruin, other things, but what's better, that or death, you know? And that's what I see in the steps and in the big book over and over is the idea of thing, words and phrases like entirely, willing to go to any lengths with complete abandon. And I know when I was in my disease, you know, I wanted what you had, but I didn't want to do what you did, you know. I mean, let's face it, we overeaters, if this one thing we love is cafeterias, well, you know, the cafeteria plan may work on a lot of things, but it doesn't work on the steps, you know. I had misconstrued that phrase I used to hear in meetings about take what you want and leave the rest. Well, that was about people and whatever they say at meetings sometimes can be wacky, and yeah, you should take what you want and leave the rest, but you can't take what you want and leave the rest when it comes to steps and recovery. You got to do this, and it's tough, and it was very tough for me, especially when we got to the 8th and 9th, because, you know, and it's taken me years to see this, is that the steps require a lot of faith, and I don't mean just faith in a higher power, but faith in the process itself, because a lot of times you go into these things being told this is what you got to do, and you don't understand it, you don't understand how it's going to help, and it isn't until you're done with it and looking backwards that you realize how important it was, and that's certainly, you know, what happened to me, and you know, over in some of the other programs where it's a lot, really is more life and death, it's easier to be willing to do that. And but with the food, you know, sometimes it isn't. You know, but I got taught by my first sponsor that steps 8 and 9 are two different steps. And I'd be entirely ready to write down everybody and then deal with what I'm going to do about that later, but that they're two discrete steps. I was told, get everything down you can think of. And then I was taught later to break my 9-step list down into 3 groups. The first being, yeah, okay, I'm willing to make these amends. Number 2 was not willing to make them now. And the third was the, well, no way in hell list, you know. And what happened is as I began to do them, I began to see the benefit and how much better I felt at cleaning my street up. And that they weren't these horrible thing I thought it was. And you know, people want to be at magnanimous most of the time. And most of my 9-step amends were good. And then what happened is the things that were number 2 on that list that not willing to do yet, they percolated up, you know. And the no way in hell ones started to percolate up to, well, not yet. And I began to see the benefits. And I can only tell you that everybody I see who I really respected this program, you know, and I'm lucky I'm out here in ground zero where people got 30, 40 years. They all do it the same way, and it's following the book and doing it as it's written. Anyway, with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, John K. Mariana D., you're up next, followed by Roz G.
Hi, I'm sorry, did you say Mariana D.?
I did.
Okay,
go ahead.
Sorry. I unmuted and I couldn't hear. Thank you so much for your service, and these shares are amazing. What really is coming up for me is just in this past week and in the reading today is that God is really speaking in a whisper, and I need to be quiet enough to be able to hear that. And this morning I woke up and I was doing my meditation and, you know, something's coming very clear to me in my program that needs to be fine-tuned a bit. And the beauty of it is instead of looking at that thinking, boy, I should have that by now, I'm able to look at that and think that, you know, when I speak with my sponsor today, I really need to mention that. I had a really nice outreach this morning, and it was talked about, it was brought up by the person speaking, and it shed some light on it again. So I feel like things do come up at the right time, and for me to be curious and look at that instead of shameful and hide from it or want to run away from it, but to look at it and to see what I need to learn from that. So anyway, so thank you for letting me share with that. I pass.
Thank you, Mariana D. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Lisa J.R.
Good morning. This is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County, enjoying the Veterans Day observation. Well, I'd like to say that I'm also walking my dog, so I might seem a little breathed. I like the sentence that says he was he came back at midnight. He was exhausted, but he was happy, and he took the bull by the horns. And one thing I didn't like to do was admit when I was wrong, because I jokingly call myself a recovering know-it-all, and that I'm not wrong. You know, I'm always right. It's my way or the highway. You know, and I had to learn here that I had to admit my wrongs or I wasn't gonna recover. And so there were a few instances that were very difficult amends for me to make. And a couple of them were on my job, you know. Family ones, yeah, those are even harder probably. But there were a couple of ladies that I was really rude to, unkind, and just curt. And they were people, you know, instructional aides. And both of them had gone on to other places. They do, you know, they were at other schools, and I, as I was going through the 9-step amends, they were on my list, on my 8-step list, and so, you know, I took the bull by the horns, and I called them, and I said, you know, I'm sorry for being so, you know, unkind to you when we were working together, and whew, both of them received me very well, and yes, they did remember. But both of them were so kind in forgiveness, and one of them returned. And today, I can look her in the eye, we can smile with each other, and you know what? She still has the same character defect. Ha ha! I can always call out somebody else's, and of course I'm joking, but I'm not. Anyway, she still has a little bit of a controlling type of an attitude, but you know that's her, and not me. And all I can do is just be me and, you know, look at her and say, you know, you might be right about that. And let her be her, live and let live. Let me be me, let her be her. That's also a beautiful transformation within me, to not be critical of others. So I've looked at myself and, you know, sometimes I still have to make amends. But I've learned that it's better to make the amends than to have them stewing inside of me, because, you know, eventually it's going to bring me back to the food. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roz G. Lisa J.R., you're up next, followed by Kathleen L.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service. And thank you all you service people out there, or family members of service people, for your sacrifice. Lisa J.R. here, grateful, recovered day by day in Baltimore, Maryland. And, you know, I'm an impulsive son of a gun by nature. And I was kicking the tires for years and years, you know, in OA, in and out, you know, let me check out a meeting. And I started working OA several years ago. And, you know, it was shared previously, I worked it sort of in a cafeteria fashion. And when it came to my 9th step, and I by the way, on step 4, my step 4 looked like a volume of War and Peace. I looked at those little squares and I said, I can't possibly fit my resentment in this tiny little square on the sheet, you know. So I ended up writing a novel. So, you know, when it came to my 9th step, boy, I counted the cost, and I'm not a count the cost person. I'm impulsive. I counted the cost, you know, down to the minutia of how this is going to hurt this person when it brings, you know, that was my little hook. If it's going to harm another person, then I'm not going to do it. And I thought, well, you know, pretty soon I didn't have much of an amends list. I had the big ones in there, but when it came time to do the other amends, like with coworkers and friends, boy, yeah, I don't think so. I think that's going to reawaken hurt and pain for them. So I want to save them from taking that Band-Aid off of that issue, you know, years ago or whatever. And so I negotiated my way out of a proper amends list. And so I continued to waffle around in program. And then I thankfully, Chelsea, a woman on the 10 p.m. Big Book Study, invited me to Vision. And, you know, I just had a changed perspective on how to work these steps. And I got to reading the Big Book, and it changed my life. And when I came to my amends list, it was a different story altogether. Now I counted the cost all right. I counted the cost to myself. If I don't do this, I'm going to go back into the food. I'm going to go back into the shopping. I'm going to go back into the raging. And I wish that I could say that I, you know, as I live in 10, 11, and 12, that I don't, you know, that I maintain emotional sobriety all the time. And that's just not true. You know, life happens, and we stumble and fall at times. But now I don't, you know, living in 10, 11, and 12, the food isn't an option anymore. It doesn't look good anymore because I suit up and show up for this program every single day despite my issues. And now when I offend somebody, bam, I have got to make an immediate amends. Whether they want to accept it or not, it's the onus is on them, not on me anymore. I'm so grateful to everybody, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Lisa J.R. Kathleen O., you're up next, followed by Terry A.H.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service this morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And at midnight, he came home exhausted but very happy. And, you know, that was my experience when I made amends. It is exhausting. It's because it takes a lot of courage. And really getting out of fear and just taking the bull by the horns and doing it. But every amends I made, I just felt like an enormous amount of weight was lifted off my shoulders. And that's because I was carrying around so much guilt and shame around it. So when I was able to make amends, it's like that just went away, and it was so wonderful. And, you know, step 9 would never happen without the previous steps. And that's why it's so important to take these steps in order. Because in step, you know, the first few steps, we develop this relationship with a higher power that gives us the faith and trust that we need to keep moving through the steps. And particularly with step 9, I needed to have faith and trust in my higher power to even take the plunge to do some of them, because some of them were really difficult and there was a lot of fear around it. And, you know, step 4 and 5, that's where we understand our part. And to carry around resentments and think that I never had a part was really crazy thinking. It's like, no wonder I ate. And so it was looking at my part and being able to, you know, 6 and 7 gave me some humility, because without it, I might approach my amends being angry and there would be more damage done. So it's not a comfortable thing. Timing in this house is really bad. It's not a comfortable thing to do. And, you know, being embarrassed or being fearful wasn't a good reason. But the good news about making amends is we don't repeat the behavior. Or I don't repeat the behavior, and that's the best part. So it was really about turning anger into forgiveness and, you know, turning selfish into selfless and learning to care about others and letting them be okay with where they are on their path in life. And I'm so grateful to be on this line and share all this with you and hear all your wonderful recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathleen L. Terry A.H., you're up next, followed by Allison A.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Terry A.H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maine, and I'm grateful to be here on the line with you this morning. I just want to focus in on the first sentence where it says, "The one morning he took the bull by the horns and set out to tell those he feared what his troubles had been." And my experience has been, you know, having faith as a result of working the steps in order, I get to face it straight on to be able to make these amends. And I love how the big book is laid out. You know, the book reminds me three different times, you know, the first time on 58, and then the second time on 76, and then again on 79, about going to any lengths. And, you know, when I got to page 58, it says, you know, if you've decided you want what you have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, and it was told to me to circle the word it, because what is the it that I'm trying, that I need to be willing to go to any lengths to get? And the it is that they're talking or referring to is a spiritual awakening, and the result of which is victory over my alcoholic foods and a spiritual experience. So step nine is just one length. And, you know, the difference between eight and nine for me is the knock on the door. And I get, you know, really step nine, I get to get off the results committee and get on the action committee. And my experience with step nine has allowed me to live in harmony with my fellows. And I just know from my own experience, anytime I say no or not now, I'm saying that I don't have a first step problem, and I now can manage my life on my own power. And really, when I got to this step, I really had to ask myself two questions. And the first question was, is this unmade amends going to be the one that takes me back to relapse? And the second question was, how can I be possibly living in the present when I have the voices in the past haunting me? And I just continue to work my program like my life depends on it, because anytime I say no, it's a first step problem. And I know today that I'm powerless over food, and I'm also powerless over my life. And I need a power greater than myself to continue this ongoing journey. And I'm so grateful that I get one more day to walk this path with you guys. And thanks for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Terry A.H. Allison A., you're up next, and then we'll take a couple more, we'll take some more shares on the first two paragraphs on page 156. Please go ahead, Allison.
Hi, thank you for having the meeting. Hey, I am a recovering compulsive overeater. I related to the reading. I am actually working, I'm on step three, so I haven't actually done step nine, but what I really related to is, you know, taking the bull by the horn idea, personally today. I just, a few months ago, I had signed up to do a conference for the Synonymous program, and I was just going to lie to my boss and tell her that I was sick, and I thought, oh, it's fine, I can lie about it. But obviously, as I work in steps, other than the big book, it says, you know, I think it's, in the reading it says the two things you need are honesty, and I can't remember the other thing. But I realized that it's just not going to work. I just can't straight out lie anymore. It's going to kill, like, it's just going to lead me back to the food. It's going to bring me backwards. So today, after like weeks of figuring out what to do, I kind of came up with an answer that was, you know, I just asked for a day off. I said, I can't explain why, it's personal, and something I wouldn't have been able to do in the past. And she said, okay, she gave me a day off. And I just felt like, I think she said it was Dr. Bob or whoever wrote this, felt in the reading just so happy. Not even that I got the answer that I wanted, but just the happiness I felt after knowing that I had done something, the right thing, something that seemed so challenging to me in the past, like it was impossible, like telling the truth, suddenly felt like, suddenly felt so possible. And I really, you know, I've not done step nine fully yet at all. I'm going to get there. But I can just relate to the idea of, you know, how steps one, two, and three are just so essential. You know, once you, you know, you're, and you see that you can't follow your own path, that you have to follow God's path, and you're going to do whatever it takes to get there, even if it's really scary. I was just able to relate to that. Thank you for the shares, Pat.
Thank you very much, Allison A. So we're reading the first two paragraphs on page 156, starting with one morning he took the bull, and ending up with have been repaired in four. And we have time for for maybe five if we go short on a couple of them, comments. Who would like to share?
Great.
Robin in Los Angeles.
Oh, Penny. I didn't hear anything, although I did say hear EB, so that's probably Julie EB. So
Robin in Los Angeles.
Robin?
Penny C.
In LA.
Reggie O.
Reggie O. And I heard a man's voice.
Courtney B.
Courtney B.
Penny C.
Okay, I got you. So I've got Julie EB, Robin in Los Angeles. If I could have first and surely a last name when you share. Penny C, Reggie O, and Courtney D. And so that may be a little too tight, so if we run short on a few shares, then there'll be room for everybody. So Julie EP, you're up next, followed by Robin in L.A. I thought I heard Julie EB.
Hi, this is Julie EB, gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. And just really grateful to be with you today. I really loved these paragraphs, and I really experienced the same thing. And I just, so many people I talk to, they so dread, steps 8 and 9. And I just wanted to speak a little bit of experience, strength, and hope. That's not me moving on the line, if everyone's muted. But anyway, I just wanted to speak some experience, strength, and hope about amends. I did have the experience that they were a surprising response, and almost everywhere I went, my higher power had been there before me. And I really liked what someone early on in the meeting said about that it does take faith to work the steps, and I define faith as believing it from one of my other programs. Believing is also an action. And when I practice it, I develop faith. And so by practicing the actions, first one meal at a time, then one thought at a time, then one resentment, one fear, one harm at a time that was turned over, having that received and being seen as a child of the universe rather than being seen for what I had done and judged, and just sharing that, not keeping any secrets, opening all that up. And then turning those character defects over to my higher power that I saw in such a new way. When I went out and made my amends, and I know I've shared this on the line before, I came back and my therapist is like, what have you been doing? I see more change in you than I've seen in 2 years in the last 2 weeks. And that is the truth. Just something about facing myself, not hanging my head, but not being superior, but just writing and squaring who I was and who I wanted to be and was created in my belief to be and how I had been living in my shame and with the food numbing me. And so, every place I went, one place there was someone, my dad's been a sponsor 20 years. Another place, the woman started crying. She said, I wish my brother would get to step 8. He's addicted to drugs. Another place, the woman's like, oh yeah, I do this program. And another place, someone's like, oh, I've done this program, but I'm just
gentle reminder.
Is there a meeting in our area? So just God, just to wrap it up, there are unexpected surprises and steps that we dread with our thinking. So we need to try and follow our predecessors and think differently. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Robin in L.A., may we have the first initial of your last
yes.
name? And Penny
yes.
C., you'll be up next. Thank you.
I apologize. Thank you. Robin P., I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Woodland Hills, and I'm so grateful for the steps. They're such a blessing and saving grace for me. And just in this meeting, thank you all for being on this phone line. The 9 steps have freed me up. I've worked the steps several times, and I've helped other people work their steps, and every time there's freedom. I've never experienced somebody going, oh, that was interesting, and nothing changed for them. I've always experienced it as a life-changing, miraculous event for people in their hearts and opening their hearts. and opening other people's hearts. And I got married in the middle of evacuations, and a receptionist house burned down where we were having a reception, and it's just been a very tumultuous time. And so I just really needed just this meeting and just to stay really close to the program right now. And I just would be grateful for prayers, and I'm very grateful for all the miracles in life, and that, you know, the fire of God's love is much more powerful than the fires, even though they seem very powerful right now. So God bless everybody in your recovery for that. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin B. Thank you very much. Penny C., you're up next, followed by Reggie O.
This is Penny C. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, everybody on the line. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. I look at these two short paragraphs, and there's so much. They say so much. But before these two paragraphs, I'm paying attention to the last sentence before these paragraphs where it says he, Dr. Bob, saw that he would have to face his problems squarely, that God might give him mastery, that God might give him the courage and the faith in the process and in God and in himself, that he could go out there and do what he needed to do. You know, in the rooms, the 12-step rooms I've heard for many, many years, our secrets keep us sick. And I've had an example of that. Well, Dr. Bob was exemplifying that when he went out, and he didn't only make amends. He told people first about the nature of his illness and what he had been dealing with, even though he started off fearful that it would ruin his whole practice if people knew that he was an alcoholic. And what my experience has been with working with others, and I take warning myself from this, is that folks get into relapse, and they keep the secret to themselves, and they think that so many think that, well, I'll just I've had a couple of days of difficulty, but I don't need to tell anybody. I don't need to even tell my sponsor. I can get back on track myself. And it never, never proves to be successful. So that's the secret that I think a good lesson from these two paragraphs, that, you know, the big book says when we get into problems. And if that's the problem, that someone is, you know, back into the food or back into whatever their addiction is, that the secret will keep us sick, will make us sicker. And so I, again, like I said, take this as a warning for myself and for others that, you know, we cannot keep these things to ourselves. And look at what happened to Dr. Bob once he went out there and was honest with himself and others, and with God's help, that was the last spree he had to have. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Penny C. Reggio, you're up next, followed by Courtney B.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Reggie O. And also here in California and in Woodland Hills. I was really grateful for the previous person who spoke from Woodland Hills, because I have been experiencing for the past almost week that the fire of God's love is far greater than, you know, any of the fires burning around. And I felt like, you know, I've had the experience of just wanting to go to the book, read, talk about the book, and praying more probably than I've ever prayed in my entire life. And, you know, it works. God, it's just, you know, there have been miraculous things that have been happening as well as all of the tragedies. But reading this, it's just so amazing, as it always is. It's like Bob conceded he needed to have a spiritual experience. And then he thought, you know, he was getting control and everything was okay, and he went out to on a spree that ended all sprees. But and then he took the bull by the horns, and what strikes me here is that he went about in a night, and he He made his night step amends in one single night, and he came back and has not had a drink since. But it reminds me of the, you know, the word entirety. You know, it's like there's entire abstinence. And when I went through, I'd done the steps multiple times before, had never completed step 9. And my sponsor, when I came into vision, it was like there wasn't an option. You know, we'll start step 10 and do the rest when you've completed your ninth step amends. And one amends I had was 30 plus years old, and it was a professional amends, and it was one that I had great shame about, and it was one that I just never dreamed that I could make. And I had to make it with the president of a college where I was previously employed. And she was very hard to get. And one morning I had the offer, she called me. And one morning I had the opportunity, but I couldn't find my phone. And I had, like, I knew a minute before I could reach her back. Could not imagine the words, even though I had written them all down and was prepared to make the amends. And I remember just getting on my knees and saying, God, help me. You know, you've got to give me the words. Threw the script away, and I had the conversation with her, and it literally was a spiritual experience. It was a totally amazing experience, you know, and I'd carried that for 30 plus years. Let me see if there was anything else I wanted to say about that. You know, I can't think. It's just that, you know, this program and this way of life is amazing, and there's none other like it. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Reggio, and you and Robin. Stay safe out there, everybody else as well. Courtney B., you'll be our final share for today. Please go ahead.
This is Courtney B., Northern California. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Well, I do want to share. When said he found himself surprisingly well-received. Well, I'm here to announce I was not, in three of them. One of them was my mom, and not only did she say, you sure should be sorry, and furthermore, do you remember when you did, baby, 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 I could have died. And, you know, I sat there and listened because she had every right to feel angry. Everything she said, I had done. And I was able to sit and listen and say, I did, and I'm sorry. The other one, so that didn't go as expected, right? Was with a sister of mine, and after I got through with my amends, I just felt this nudge from God, and I said to her, can you think of anything that I need to make amends to you for? And she said, yes, 28 years ago, you did, baby, baby, baby. And I remembered, and I was tempted to lie, and I didn't lie, and I said, I remember, and you're absolutely right. Wow. And then another one with someone at work. We had scheduled three times to meet. She bailed on every single time. Every single time. Canceled. And so, you know, I talked about it with my sponsor, prayed, and I let it go. Made my attempts. Nobody is required to receive me graciously. That's what I learned. But here's the good news about all of it, is that I realize all of these steps are a movement to my health, wholeness, integration of my soul, my psyche, my heart, my mind, so I can live comfortably inside my own skin. It is sweeping away the shame, and I have walked away from those paid in full for what I could do. So for me, I am a being today with substance. I am a whole human being with substance, integrity, good character. So step 9 resulted for me in a connection with God, myself, and others, and the human race, and it's a good step to take. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Courtney B., and everybody that has shared today. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy G. please read a vision for you?
Yes, thanks, Elaine. Kathy G., recovered in Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.